Good morning. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. Now, for those of you who may not know, we're broadcasting from Concordia's Loyola campus in Montreal, Quebec. Now, right across the street from our studio lies the Perform Center, which is a research facility that provides an integrated and comprehensive environment to promote healthier lives through changes in behavior and lifestyle. Now, this is achieved by offering research opportunities, education, and different types of programming. Now, joining me in the studio today is Dr. Richard Hovey, an associate professor in the Division of Oral Health and Society with the Faculty of Dentistry at McGill University, and also an associate researcher at the Perform Center. Now, today we'll be discussing his research as well as his upcoming talk for the Perform Center Colloquium Series entitled Homebase, a community of care for men enduring pain and isolation. Now, thank you so much for joining me in the studio this afternoon, Richard. Oh, there we go. I think I may have just left your mic off for a sec.
Okay.
There we go. That right. Sounds better.
There we go. Thanks, Allison.
No problem. Now, first, I would love to do a brief introduction on just like your educational background. So talk about what led you to here.
Okay. So it's kind of a windy road. I was a McGill student. I did a Bachelor of Education, and then I did a Master's in Exercise Physiology. And then I moved around the country. I was at Dalhousie for a while, then University of Regina, and finally I ended up in University of Calgary, where I did a PhD in what I like to call health philosophy. Mm-hmm. So it's about understanding the context in which people live with illness rather than the illness itself. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different way of looking at it.
All right, on. So what led you from studying education into going into exercise physiology?
Well, I have eclectic interests. I like the idea of education. I like the idea of different types of learning theories and approaches. But I also like the idea of science and how science needs to be integrated with how we think philosophically about how we get people to change behaviors, to consider things differently, to imagine, to make different decisions than what they have been making.
Right on. So tell us a little bit more about this PhD, like this health philosophy.
Well, it was interesting to me because my master's was looking at it was measuring human mechanical power with a jump test, and it was interesting. But I always was drawn to people's stories about things that they were confronting in their lives, and the interesting part was that when I was in Calgary, I was on the board of directors for Osteoporosis Canada, and we would sit around board meetings, and there were two women, both of whom were living with osteoporosis, one for 20 years and one for 30 years, and I became quite intrigued about their stories and how they learn a lot on their own how to cope with osteoporosis. And I became more and more intrigued, so I finally interviewed them, and then those two women are responsible for me getting really interested in the philosophy of health rather than just the physiology. So when I went to complete my dissertation, I interviewed another 12 people and found it fascinating of not only the similarities of situations, but how we could remedy them by going in and just fixing and tweaking the experience that people living with osteoporosis had experienced.
Right on. So what other, could you elaborate on that a little bit? Like what other findings did you find by interviewing these people?
Well, that's where the idea of adult learning comes in, because what I wrote in one of the papers that came out of that was the idea that when you find out you have osteoporosis, metaphorically and literally, your life shatters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So a bone shatters, but your life changes because you can't do the things the same way you used to do them before.
Of course.
And so people can get stuck in that, waiting for healthcare to cure them, or they can start their own healing journey. And so the next phase, I called it surrendering. And it wasn't surrendering to give up, surrendering into the reality of your situation. And this had a really interesting cathartic effect on people because they started to be able to imagine other things that they can do. So, for example, one of my participants was a gardener, but she couldn't garden any longer. So what she did was she went to a community college and taught gardening.
Oh, nice.
So here's an example of how people had learned to adapt and find their identity again by something they love to do. The third phase was I called the dance, and it was kind of a metaphor that your dance partner is always going to be osteoporosis, but you can lead most of the time, and you can learn to live well with that chronic condition.
No, absolutely. So what are you currently working on now?
Right now, it's very exciting. We received a grant from Movember Foundation to reduce social isolation for men, and I took on the with my colleagues the men living with chronic pain. Mm-hmm. Now, I have my own chronic pain condition, which I've had for over 3 years, which led me to meeting a lot of people at pain support groups and realizing that there were many gaps and lack of services for people, in particular for men. Mm-hmm. Because men tend to like to do things a little bit differently. So mm-hmm. when we put this grant in, we are one of 13 worldwide that got funded. And basically what we're doing is we call it a community care outside of healthcare. So when healthcare has finished working with you, when you've gone through rehabilitation, where do you go? Well, it was often tricky because our services are quite fragmented and we weren't really providing people with a transition that was smooth. So what we want to do now is we're using the NDG YMCA, the Perform Center, the Food Depot, and other local organizations to give men an opportunity to come together to do things within the community, to learn how to exercise safely, to take mindfulness courses, to have instruction in yoga, whatever seems to be what they need to do in order for them to re-identify themselves. Because often they, when in chronic pain, you often can't work anymore. Your social life diminishes quite a bit, and you're left basically, what I would say, sitting in your basement a lot.
Yeah.
Feeling sad, depressed, and that type of thing. So we have a three-pronged approach. One's called Connect, mm-hmm. and that would be courses like we're going to have food preparation courses that perform.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to have people come in, men come in to prepare food and learn how to cook to reduce inflammation and that type of thing, but also just the connectiveness of coming together. And that with other types of programs, we want to get men together working on things and not address it through sharing your emotions, but coming together, becoming acquainted with each other, getting to know each other, trusting each other, and talking sideways.
Mm-hmm.
So men working together, talking sideways, seems to be a preferred way of doing things. So we also have what we call building birdhouses, which is a community group that's going to come together to do things for the community. And I use the term building birdhouses because many years ago I was invited to spend a good part of the day working with people I'd never met before to build birdhouses for a school. And during that time, something magical happened. People started to communicate well. They started to get along. There was the laughter, the back slapping. It was just people just enjoying. and I realized that it wasn't the building birdhouses itself. It was the fact we were doing something together for other people, and that stuck with me all the way through all these years.
Yeah, absolutely. Now your research, I find, is really interesting because there's probably a lot of aspects psychological and also social that people don't realize that when men go through pain, you have, there's all these social factors, men should be strong, men, they just have to tough it out. And also men who experience depression, there's not as many resources and they're less likely to share, because of those stigmas. Do you find that you come across this, and do you find that as a barrier to your research at all?
Well, it is a barrier until you sort of understand it and realize that this, the term masculinity sort of refers to the enculturation that we have to become men. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is what you just described, Allison. Mm-hmm. And so we also have next week we've invited a researcher from the UK who's going to talk about his research on masculinity and how to attract men to self-management programs. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a workshop, and in the evening there's going to be a public forum that people can register for, and that will be out pretty soon. But the idea then is that there is research on how to overcome masculinity and use the strengths that men have due to that, but also to work with the weaknesses or the areas that seem to keep them isolated from the rest of the population when things don't go well, or when they losing their job could mean a loss of identity, a lot of their friendships, and it's hard to rebuild that when you're in pain and don't have the confidence that you had before.
No, absolutely. Now, you touched on this a little bit previously, but you said that you also suffer from chronic pain. Now, do you find that helps you and guides you through this research that you're conducting right now?
Well, I do, because I was researching chronic pain before my accident.
Oh, really?
And I thought I just wrote a paper that was in the British Journal of Pain, and I wrote in there that I thought I understood what it meant to live with chronic pain. I'm an empathetic person. Mm-hmm. I had no idea till I had my own chronic pain situation. And then I really was able to listen very carefully to the people around me, the men who I engaged in this project, and have a deeper understanding of what it means. So you know, there's stigma attached to it. I mean, with the opiate crisis and everything else, mm-hmm. you know, it just becomes tricky, and it's hard for men to stay buoyed within the situation of that kind of stigma. You look fine, right? And walking down the street, nobody would ever know you're in pain, even though it's excruciating.
Yeah.
And so people say, well, it's all in your head, or come on, get over that. Aren't you over that now? And not really understanding that it just never goes away.
Exactly. That's also another facet, is also kind of the invisible disability,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. There's no wound.
Exactly. Now, let's talk a little bit about your upcoming talk. So the talk that you will be doing at the Perform Like Colloquium series, it will be about this research that you're conducting, right?
That's right. So what I intend to do is, it's a presentation that I have given before at the Perform Center, but it talks about an introduction to masculinity and, mm-hmm. and the research around that. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, as a presentation goes on, start to talk about how we evolve the home base project, mm-hmm. and how it started with a group of men who came together in my office space every 2 weeks, and we talked about the experience of men living with chronic pain. And from there, we built up what we thought we needed. Mm-hmm. And this also became the foundation for the Movember grant. But then we invited people in to work with us. So Dr. Jeffrey Dover from Concordia is one of our co-PIs on it. Dr. Angela Mork from University of Calgary is also working on it with us. And then we have all these wonderful people in the community. Deborah Cross from the Perform Center. I mean, everybody's been so open to helping do this. The people from the YMCA, Ross Neal and his group, you know, bent over backwards to accommodate people, and mm-hmm. and are actually going to offer a 50% reduction for people living with pain to try classes out and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that to me was so incredibly inspiring,
yeah.
that people cared that much, and everybody seems to know somebody who's in trouble.
Of course,
and that's been, you know, and I think making that clear and to make create awareness of that is so important, that there are going to be things for people to do, and they're going to be meaningful to men, but also women as well. I mean, it will have that kind of effect. We also plan to pilot it this year locally, and then we want to start to scale it out. So hopefully to the rest of Canada, selected cities in Canada by year two.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, because Movember is in the UK and Australia, we'd like them to go out there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was going to touch on this. What else do you like see? What is next for this research? Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I think it's about the notion of transitions, because, you know, we talk about people being afraid to try things. And the reality is that, you know, when you've gone through the acute pain phase, it's so excruciating and so, I don't know, it just levels you. And so you get a bit better, right? Either your medications are working properly, or you manage to get to a certain place. And somebody says, why don't you try this? And this, you think about, might bring me back to where I was before. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the reservations that people have is that I don't want to return to that pain experience that I had that was horrible. And so we need to have safe transitions. And mm-hmm. so the idea then is, if you come out to one of these projects, they're not all exercise. Some are just being socially connected, and that can lift your spirits and help you to feel better. But some of them can be. Like, you know, I'm going to start on a treadmill walking for 30 seconds, and that's mm-hmm. fine. You know, and then the next time, 35. And so the idea then is we're going to help people transition safely from where they were to where they want to be in a realistic way.
Yeah.
So you might not go from 30 seconds to a marathon in a few months, but, you know, it's just getting you back into life, living your life again.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure if this goes into your research at all, but it might. Like, the fact that, you know, you're lifting people out of this isolation, you're making them feel better and aware of their depression and possible, like, psychological symptoms, and that could help alleviate the physical symptoms as well. Is that a potential?
Well, absolutely. I mean, when people are engaged, and I learned this from the group of men that have been working with me, and it's really interesting, because when we first started, a lot of the conversation was still about pain, and now it's not anymore. And people are taking more chances, as they call them, but they're winning, you mm-hmm. know, and they're pushing pain away and saying, well, I'm taking my life back. And they realize now that the pain doesn't get any worse or any better But when they're not focused on it, when they have something that's giving them drive and purpose, the pain, the perception of pain diminishes quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And what they will be telling me is that, you know, I still have pain, but my life is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more. There's a lot of richness in it again, and a lot of satisfaction. Where when pain was driving everything, it just wasn't working that way.
No, absolutely. Now, let's touch a little bit on the Perform Center. So can you speak to the Perform Center as a place for doing research? What has your experience been like so far?
Well, it's been awesome. I mean, I've been working with people over there to think about what programs we could run. And, you know, basically everything was offered to us, you know. So since we're piloting this, we thought we would do some, you know, basically a little bit of everything. So, you know, the cooking course would be a one-day thing where people could come in, and you know, we're going to subsidize that with some of the grant money. If you want to come in to see an athletic therapist, you can. We're going to have group courses with music therapy and movement therapy, so people who are really tentative about doing stuff but want to become part of something and do it in a group can do that. And so there's no expectations of going from A to Z. You show up and you enjoy the activity, and over time you'll see changes in your physical health, in your emotional health, and just overall, you know, hopefully a better feeling of being connected to more people.
No, absolutely. Now, are you still doing outreach for bringing participants into your study? Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you'd like to say on air?
Sure. So we are, because it's November, Movember, we are going to have a day at the NDGYMC on the 24th of November, and we're going to have representatives from the Perform Center and from the Y, because the Y has created a program as well that are going to be for men, and as well as some of the programs will be for women as well. So we're just adding more men oriented courses to the project. And so people can drop in, they can meet me, they can meet some of the other researchers, they can ask about the programs, they can meet people from Perform Center and see how we're going to work together, because the Y is a community place, it's based, and they can take people, you know, to do group things, and they have a really nice setup where you can take beginner things and everything. So let's say you want to learn how to spin. So if you walk into a spin class and you see everybody there in their spandex and stuff like that, it's a little bit intimidating.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you're brought in just a group of four or five people with an instructor who gently takes you through it, and you get to try it, and then you have a series of classes over a period of time, you may say, well, I'm going to try it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're no longer a patient. You are now just a person living in your community where everybody knows your name.
Exactly.
And both Perform and the Why, when you walk in there, they know your name.
Yeah.
And it's such a welcoming place. So,
absolutely.
So that, I hope, will be the draw to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, November 20th in the evening at McGill, we're going to have Dr. Paul Galdes from York, University of York in the UK.
Okay.
And he's going to do we're going to have a public forum on masculinity and how to get men engaged into management programs, so self-management programs. And then once he's spoken, I'm bringing in two or three of the men from the pain support group and talk about their experiences of pain, and then we'll open it up for a dialogue with the general public.
Right on. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me on air today and speaking about your research. I appreciate it very much.
It's a real pleasure, Allison. Thank you for having me.
All right. So you have been listening to CJLO 1690 AM. I'm Allison O'Reilly, and I was just chatting with Dr. Richard Hovey. So make sure to check his talk at the upcoming Perform Center Colloquium Series. Have a great afternoon.